George of Fort Mason. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the top of the peninsula in San Francisco, California, in the midst of Fleet Week, so sorry if any blue angels fly by. Today is Thursday, the 8th of October, 2015. On this date in 1582, because of the implementation of the Gregorian calendar, this day does not exist in this year in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain, which is weird. 1860, the telegraph line between Los Angeles and San Francisco opens. 1871, the Great Chicago Fire begins. 1941, in their invasion of the Soviet Union, Germany reaches the Sea of Azov with the capture of Mariupol, now in Ukraine and extremely strategic since Russia occupies Crimea. 1957, Jerry Lee Lewis records Great Balls of Fire in Memphis, Tennessee. 1967, Che Guevara is defeated in Bolivia. 1970, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wins the Nobel Prize in Literature. By the way, Peace Prize going to Tunisian NGOs. Congratulations. 1982, Poland bans Solidarity and all trade unions. 2001, U.S. President George Bush announces the establishment of the Office of Homeland Security. Birthdays today are Juan Perón, Jesse Jackson, Chevy Chase, Sigourney Weaver, Mark Mullen, Matt Damon, and Bruno Mars. Today is Children's Day in Iran. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast was written by Ari Swiecka, no Georgian journal in Kriti's Politra column this week. Thanks again for posting on our forum. If you'd like to say anything, ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod.com. Sorry, at tpeelpod@gmail.com if you're shy. Following up on the Rustavi Audio ownership dispute, which isn't really a dispute, it's just a big mess and an excuse to close it down. As a reminder, last week on the 30th of September, Tbilisi City Court ordered freezing the assets of the TV company Sakart Velo, which is a major shareholder in Rustavi II, the brothers Levon and Georgi Karamanishvili, who are believed to be Misha associates because they are, own 40% of Rustavi Audio shares directly and 51% through Sakart Velo TV. On the 1st of October, the lawyer of businessman Kibar Khalvashi, who initiated the ownership dispute because he was friends with Okurashvili and was given the TV station a few years back, announced that his client requested the additional injunction of Sakart Velo TV, which bans the Karamanishvili owners from selling their stakes in the company. At the same time, the court rejected the request to freeze Sakart Velo TV's bank accounts. So, according to Khalvashi's lawyer, the motion was filed after they learned about the Karamanishvili's intention to sell their shares to Dmitry Chikovani, who is a brother-in-law of former defense minister Dato Kezadashvili. The deal would have made Chikovani 51% owner of Rustavi Audio through Sakart Velo TV, which, they argued, would have further complicated the complex ownership dispute in Khalvashi's bid to reclaim Rustavi Audio. Rustavi Audio confirmed that the deal was agreed upon. The aim of the deal was to attract a $6 million investment to ensure the broadcaster's operation while its assets are frozen. Rustavi Audio's TV CEO, Nika Gvaramia, said that although the broadcaster is self-sustained through ad revenues, the asset freeze, which also cut its access to bank loans, made the owners think about attracting investments. So they decided to sell Sakart Velo TV. As a note, Rustavi Audio earned over 21.5 million lari in advertising revenue in the first half of 2015, more than twice as much as its main competitor, Imedi. So, according to the planned deal, a buyer would pay $400,000 for Sakart Velo TV, in addition to committing to invest in and allocate funds to Rustavi Audio TV's TV amounting to $3 million before the end of the year and another $3 million by no later than February 2017, if necessary, meaning if the court freezes off. All of this was just to keep Rustavi Audio broadcasting, which is now in great jeopardy. The deal was not finalized, however, interestingly. For a contract to become valid, it has to be registered by the Justice Ministry's National Agency of the Public Registry, or NAPR. The NAPR, however, did not register the contract, which was submitted on the 29th of September, citing a shortcoming in the wording of the registration application. Terribly sorry, have to have a delay, phone calls were made. In that time, Khalvashi and his lawyers, who were obviously notified, filed a motion with the Tbilisi City Court to freeze Sakart Velo TV's assets, which blocked the deal. Rustavi Audio and their lawyers claimed that NAPR delayed the process deliberately, which is of course true, and suggested various branches of the authorities are acting in concert to take over Rustavi II through Khalvashi's lawsuit, which is, of course, true. The NAPR denied the allegations. Rustavi TV CEO Gvaramia also accused the Tbilisi City Court Tamas Urtmelidze, who is adjudicating the lawsuit, of acting upon BI's instructions, and that he was bribed and saying aggressive things against the judge, that the soil will burn under his feet, and that he'll never find safe haven in Georgia. Tbilisi City Court condemned the statement as containing threats and pressures on the judge. Lawmakers from the Georgian Dream Coalition say that the lawsuit is a dispute between private entities and the government has nothing to do with it, which, as we know and as much discussed, is complete BS. Prime Minister Khadabashvili said that the same thing when the ownership dispute was first filed in August. Both the UNM and the Free Democrat leaders, Irakli Alassania, condemned it. Alassania emphasized that it closed the space for competitive media environment ahead of the 2016 elections, which is precisely the idea. President Margvelashvili commented that, quote, problems have been created in recent days hindering the smooth operation of Rustavi TV. It's happening against a backdrop of developments in Georgian media that raise serious questions, but that have no convincing answers yet, end quote. A group of civil society groups, including Young Lawyers, IDFI, said in a joint statement that there were circumstances which caused serious suspicion about the government's influence on the ongoing Rustavi Ori ownership dispute, adding that the judiciary carries a special role and responsibility to ensure the independent and unbiased settlement of the dispute. On the 6th of October, and just so you know, there is absolutely no reason that their assets need to be frozen during the dispute. If they want to have a court case ongoing for this incredibly complex mess, and surely the previous government handed the ownership of Rustavi around all over the place because Okoroshvili was involved in it first, and then he fell out. The whole thing is just a complete mess. But there's no reason they need to freeze the assets during all of that. On the 6th of October, a U.S. State Department spokesman said that the State Department is closely following the developments with Rustaviori and that actions that give the appearance of constricting media freedoms or compromising media pluralism are disturbing. So they're taking the situation seriously and watching it, and that's good. Continuing on with Rustaviori and the UNM, on the 2nd of October, activists from the pro-national movement youth group Free Zone held a protest rally outside of the parliament building in Kutaisi in support of the TV station Rustaviori. During the rally, they verbally and physically confronted Otsneva lawmaker David Lord Kipanidze, three activists, Nika Narsia, Miriam Diasadze, and Kahaber Gabunio, were arrested several hours later. The UNM condemned their detention and pointed out an incident where UNM lawmaker Georgi Viniashvili was punched by a Georgian Dream supporter during the grape farmers' protest in Gurjani in September, but the guy who hit him was charged without being detained. They said it demonstrates selected application of justice. On the 5th of October, a Kutaisi court ordered pretrial detention for the three Free Zone guys. Then, in the evening of the 5th of October, the UNM held a protest rally outside of BA's Hilltop Mansion in Sololaki in protest of their pretrial detention. At the rally, UNM leaders, led by Giga Bokeria and lawmaker Sergo Ratiani, called on other opposition parties to plan large-scale street protests to put an end to the current government and to BI's rule, and also called to negotiate holding snap early parliamentary elections. While the UNM call to action didn't specify particular parties they want to negotiate with, the Free Democrats responded the next day on the 6th of October that they do not support holding special early elections. Former Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze, who joined the Free Democrats in November 2014, noted that while there is dissatisfaction with the government, the country government, voters, and political parties should get used to the idea that there is an electoral cycle which is crucial for the country's democratic development. Public defender Nanuashvili released a statement on the 7th of October that pretrial detention of the three Free Zone activists was not justified and caused suspicion over the selective application of justice. This early elections thing is ridiculous and is not going to happen. The government has no incentives for that. However, the government has great control through the use of Bidzina Ivanishvili's money over majoritarians and are going to be doing a lot of recruitment over the next year, and that will very much influence the composition of parliament. Because the majoritarians, since they refuse to go to multi-member constituencies, are going to be half of the members of parliament this time around again. Following up on the President's and Prime Minister's visit to the U.S. last week, in the evening of the 1st of October, Prime Minister Ghadabashvili spoke before the U.N. General Assembly. He talked about Georgia's achievements and improvements in government according to the New World Bank report and expressed that Georgians are dedicated to democracy, the rule of law, and free media. The whole of his speech is in our Things to Read. On the 5th of October, President Mark Ghadabashvili criticized Georgia's ambassador to the United States, Archil Gegashidze, for not accompanying him and not even meeting with him while he was in New York and Washington. Ambassador Gegashidze was accompanying Prime Minister Ghadabashvili in New York instead. Mark Ghadabashvili said in a Rustavi Oddi interview that it is the obligation of the foreign ministry to promote moral and diplomatic etiquette among our diplomatic service. They are violating whole sets of laws when they do not meet the president. I would have left the Georgian diplomatic mission some interesting homework. Instead, I had no contact with the ambassador whatsoever. Ambassador Gegashidze responded that he was a bit surprised by the president's criticism, saying that he didn't violate any law or diplomatic norm since there's no normative act regulating how an ambassador should act in an extraordinary situation where the president and prime minister are paying simultaneous but separate visits to the country. Foreign Minister Kvitikashvili, who was on the prime minister's delegation to the U.S., said that he had offered to rearrange the president's U.S. visit another time to avoid the overlap. President Mark Ghadabashvili also said in a Rustavi Oddi interview that it would have been better if he addressed the UN General Assembly instead of the Prime Minister. Oh, yes. Foreign Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili and Defense Minister Tino Kvitikashvili are visiting Brussels this week. On the 7th of October, they met with NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg. A point they've iterated many times is they want NATO to either grant Georgia MAP, Membership Action Plan, at the July 2016 Warsaw Summit, which seems unlikely, or declare MAP is no longer a precursor to eventual NATO membership. As a reminder, Stoltenberg visited Georgia in late August to open NATO Training Center. On the 8th of October, there's a NATO Defense Ministerial meeting. Kvitikashvili is participating in the NATO-Georgia Commission meeting as well. In Brussels, Kvitikashvili is also meeting her British, French, Bulgarian, Romanian, and Polish counterparts. Foreign Minister Kvitikashvili is meeting UN Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini, Commissioner for European Neighborhood Policy and Enlargement Negotiations Johannes Hahn, EU Trade Commissioner, and the EU Special Representative for South Caucasus, Herbst Salber. Salber is co-chair of the Geneva talks. Kvitikashvili also met with his Belgian counterpart. In many ways, Tinico is right. But in my view, her demands of NATO are unwise, particularly in that her public overt demands of NATO, because NATO has so much to lose from its relationship with Georgia and less to gain. I think the relationship is good for both, but better to tone down the demands. Georgia is not in a position to make them, particularly considering how Alassania was fired and the completely unfair and politically motivated imprisonment of defense ministry staff that this government is responsible for. Certainly, Georgia is less organized in terms of its defense setup than other countries, and this is a convenient excuse for NATO in the meantime. Georgian Football Federation elected a new president on the 3rd of October, Levan Kobayashvili. 38-year-old Kobayashvili is a retired footballer. He had the backing of his former national football teammate, Kaja Kaladze, who is now the Minister of Energy. Kobayashvili won the race by 3 votes. 18 delegates of the GFF out of 33 voted for him, and 15 voted for his main opponent, Rezi Arveladze, also a retired footballer who served as the GFF Secretary General. There's a third candidate that no one voted for. The election was marred by allegations of government meddling. The story is this. Late on the 2nd of October, the night before the election, one of the voting delegates, Gega Gobejashvili, was arrested by police and charged under the Code of Administrative Offenses for drugs. Gobejashvili was going to vote for Arveladze in the race for Georgian Football Federation president. His friends and relatives say that Gobejashvili was arrested on trumped-up charges in order to sideline him from the vote and advantage the government's favored candidate. The morning of the vote, the GFF delegates gathered in the Holiday Inn in Tbilisi, but the delegates that were supporting Arveladze said they would refuse to undergo registration as long as Gobejashvili remained in detention. Meanwhile, Kobayashvili was accusing his competitor's supporters of trying to thwart the assembly. After a court hearing, Gobejashvili was released late on Saturday afternoon on the 3rd of October and was fined 500 lari. He was detained for 18 hours. By then, he was already replaced as a GFF delegate by someone else. On top of that, the fact that Kaji Kaladze was at the Georgian Football Federation Assembly at the at the Holiday Inn further fueled allegations about meddling from the government. Khaladze said that he was there to meet with UEFA Vice President Georgi Tsourkis, who was at the GFF Assembly. So, Kobayashvili won. He was elected to the post of Georgian Football Federation president for a four-year term. He replaced Zviad Tsitsinava, who resigned after the UEFA Super Cup ticket sale fiasco in August. Kazakhstan state-owned Kaztransgaz has formally asked Georgia to launch negotiations to settle a long-standing dispute over control of its gas distribution company in Tbilisi. The company warned it would otherwise take the dispute to international arbitration to seek compensation for damages, which they estimate at $130 million worth of investments covering the years 2006 to 2009. The information became public after Kaztransgaz released a statement on their website on the 5th of October revealing that it sent the pre-arbitration dispute settlement notice to Georgian authorities on the 21st of September. As a reminder, Kaztransgaz bought a gas distribution company in Tbilisi in 2006, but 3 years later, the state took over management of the company's Georgian subsidiary, Kaztransgaz Tbilisi, citing the company's financial and debt problems. The Energy Regulatory Commission appointed a special administrator for Kaztransgaz Tbilisi. The issue of the company's management was raised when Prime Minister Khalabashvili visited Kazakhstan in November 2014. Energy Minister Kahi Khaladze said at the time that the management of Kaztransgaz Tbilisi would be handed over back to the Kazakh company in the nearest future, as they say. Commenting now on Kaztransgaz's notice, Energy Minister Khaladze said that the complaint came as a surprise because they are already in the process of negotiating. By contrast, Deputy Energy Minister Mariam Valishvili said in a different interview that the issue remained unsolved since no agreement was yet reached over the company's debt, which was the reason for putting a special administrator in Kaztransgaz Tbilisi in 2009. Annual inflation was 5.2% in September, according to Geostat. It was 5.4% in August. Annual inflation in alcoholic beverages and cigarettes was among the highest of all groups at 13.4%. Annual inflation for housing, water, and energy rose 7.2%. Food prices 4.2%. As a reminder, late last month, the central bank raised key refinancing rates by 1 percentage point to 7%, citing a significant increase in inflation expectations amidst the depreciation of the lari. On the 5th of October, the State Audit Office released a report which indicates that there may have been violations in the prison ministry's public procurement. The report covers the years 2013-14 and shows that 14 bidding rounds for food-related tenders announced by the ministry, there was only one winning company, GMM. Another part of the report deals with awards or bonuses and says in cases there was no justification for giving awards to employees. In some cases, awards were given to the same person twice or even four times. There were individual awards of up to 10,000 lari. The prison ministry responded that any company was allowed to participate in the tenders. They were operating with time constraints and under extreme conditions, and so the tender commission had to make decisions and ensure there was food supply for prison inmates. They said if the audit office believes that there were indications of criminal offenses, they can ask the prosecutor general's office to launch an investigation. Let's see if they spend as much time in jail as the defense ministry people did. The 33rd round of the Geneva talks were on the 6th and 7th of October. Three members of the Free Democrats faction in Marneuli municipality left the Free Democrats and moved to Otsneba. They cited the incompatibility of their political views for the move and said the former members of National Movement was elected as a chairman of the Free Democrats Marneuli chapter, which they didn't like. Kutaisi City Council Chairman Dato Dali suspended his own authority amid allegations and an investigation that he beat up the head of an NGO, the Public Interest Center. He said the allegations are to serve certain political interests. His deputy is taking over. On the 5th of October, the Ministry of Defense announced that a private of the 5th Anti-Aircraft Company of the 5th Infantry Brigade died while on the military base and that they are launching an investigation of the cause of his death. He was shot in the heart. His family, who live in a village in Dusheti, were informed of his death and that it was a suicide. The family rejects the explanation and are accusing his superiors of negligence and that he wasn't brought to the hospital in time. On a related note, the Ministry of Defense is launching a suicide prevention program called Shoulder to Shoulder. Following up on previous week's stories, Tbilisi Mayor Dato Normania announced that the state will start subsidizing the increased electricity tariff in Tbilisi for vulnerable people from October. Tbilisi City Hall is proposing a cheap loan program for entrepreneurs that were affected by the 13th of June flood or other disasters. The loans are at a 3% interest rate instead of 6%. The payment period will be increased from 60 to 84 months, while the preferential period will be extended from 6 to 12 months. The City Assembly has still to decide on the program. Young Georgian designer Demna Gvasalia, who looks exactly like Eric Barrett, was named as the new creative director of Paris fashion-based house Balenciaga this week. It was announced by Balenciaga chief executive and president Isabel Guichot. Gvasalia replaces American designer Alexander Wang in the position. Balenciaga president Guichot praised Gvasalia as a perfect fit for the fashion house, saying, "We really wanted somebody that has a vision, someone capable of reshuffling the cards." Gvasalia is regarded as an up-and-coming talent in the fashion world. In 2014, he founded, along with his brother, the underground Paris fashion collective Vêtements, which is clothes in French. Vogue magazine called it hands down the coolest thing going in Paris fashion. They rework clothes to look new and exhibit them in eclectic places. Gvasalia's first work for Balenciaga is scheduled to be presented during the 2016 Paris Fashion Week in March. About 40 Georgian citizens have been arrested in Greece over the past 2 weeks for being in the country illegally. According to the Georgian ambassador to Greece, they temporarily went on hunger strike while in detention. Following up on last week's story, on the 2nd of October, Gori City Assembly voted against the re-erecting of the Stalin statue in the city center. Thanks very much for that. It was taken down in 2010. In September, there was a proposal to put it back up by an organization called Gorelebi, which consists mainly of very elderly people. A bunch of changes in Tbilisi City Hall over the week. The heads of the City Hall departments resigned, reportedly including the heads of the Supervision Department, the Architecture Department, the Medical Service, the Economy Policy Service, and the post of Vakë Governor are all vacant. We don't know why. Anybody knows, let us know. We'll try and figure it out. Following up on last week's story on the Louville Chateau that Georgia acquired in France, Justice Minister Théa Souloukiani, who has strong French connections, announced plans to renovate the estate. They'll be involving French architects and designers for the job. The castle is historic to Georgia because Georgia's first democratic government in exile fled to France after the Bolshevik invasion in 1921 and took up residence in the castle. They're planning to open a Georgian academy for artists and historians at the chateau. According to Russian media, Kaja Tsakadze, the head coach of the Georgia national football team, was summoned to the Russian military commissariat to clarify information related to military registration. Reportedly, they sent documents to him, but at an old apartment that he sold 15 years ago, an apartment he received when playing for FC Dynamo Moscow. The Georgian Football Federation responded, saying the whole situation was surprising since Tsakadze was never a citizen of Russia. So why is military registration commissars contacting him? Late Georgian actor Kote Tolordava was awarded the Best Actor Award at the Diabolique International Film Festival in Bloomington, Indiana, for his role in the drama Landmine Goes Click by Georgian director Levon Bachia. The film follows three American tourists hiking in Georgia when things go very wrong and they step on an abandoned landmine and a local Georgian starts taking advantage of them. Tolordava was known for his roles in various productions in Tbilisi theaters and in the popular Georgian TV series My Wife's Friends. He died of a heart attack in April 2015 at the extremely young age of 35 while taking part in filming in Moscow. Georgia opened an honorary consulate in Peru. According to the foreign ministry, Georgia plans to open an embassy in Abu Dhabi and a consul general in Tbilisi. In the Emirates next year, they've allocated $3 million to the new diplomatic mission. Officials from Georgia's Ministries of Regional Development, Economy, International Affairs, Education, and Health met this week to discuss obligations under the EU Association Agreement to increase road safety in Georgia. Currently, the number of fatal road accidents in Georgia is twice as high as the average EU member states. According to the Economy Minister, Dmitry Kumtsishvili, they've developed a national strategy for road safety and a five-year action plan that outlines the implementation. The strategy is not publicly available yet. It was developed with foreign experts and funded by the World Bank. So more to see on that. Batumi, a new residency for Mufti Beglar Kamashidze opened, and part of the residence will also be a madrasa for students. The state agency for religious issues procured a four-floor building that was previously being used as a hotel and transferred it to the Muslim community. The Georgian Civil Aviation Agency has a concept plan to develop inactive rural aviation centers throughout the country. They found that four airfields have potential for revival in Ingiri, Omalo, Chikreshi, and Umbralauri. Company Silk Road Group has plans to build a Radisson Telegraph Hotel at 31 Rustavelli, expanding the Radisson brand. The design work should be completed by the end of the year. They'll announce a tender for construction afterwards. They previously planned to open a Park Inn Hotel in the building of the former Georgian Post, but those plans have been scrapped. These are reportedly new plans. Georgian Railway is launching a new cargo transit route to the Vale Railway Station in Azerbaijan. The railway infrastructure has not been functioning for several years. For now, they're just transiting coal, but they hope to transport wheat as well. Government is spending 18.5 million lari on the Maltahwa development project in Poti to improve the coastline for tourism and infrastructure and recreation space. First stage is now building a 370-meter-long boulevard along the beach. The tender for the project was won by Piramida FR Construction Company. A Georgian man was arrested for illegally importing a large quantity of prescription-only drugs, Subutex, from Turkey. It can be used as an opiate. It's sort of like methadone. Chess player Nino Homeriki was crowned as the new female European youth champion in a tournament in the town of Poreč in Croatia. 17-year-old Homeriki scored 8 points out of 9. She defeated all of her rivals but one. Following up on harvest, the grape harvest in Kakheti is over. Now it's grape picking time in Rachalec Humi. The state announced it will pay 5 lari per kilo for ripe grapes. Aleksandrouli and Mujuretuli grape varieties in support of the Racha harvest. Meanwhile, private sector companies paying 2 or 3 lari for the same grape varieties. Citrus season in Anjada and Guria should begin in November and last until January. There was heavy rain in Anjada over the past days, causing floods in seaside town Koboleti. 4th of October was National Wine Day in Georgia, the second year that they've had this specific celebration day. Prime Minister Kadabashvili and his two sons were in Kakheti, photo ops picking grapes. Two Georgian men were crowned the number 1 and 2 strongest in the heavyweight category at the 2015 World Arm Wrestling Championship in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The Georgian team won 44 medals in total. South London Gallery is exhibiting a contemporary sculpture installation by Berlin-based Georgian artist Teya Georgiadze. Hard to describe the piece. It has raised wooden platform and mimics shapes in the gallery and also an inspiration from traditional village structures. The exhibition with her work is there until late November. The Georgian National Museum launched an Instagram account. They plan to feature behind-the-scenes looks at setting up exhibitions. In parliamentary news, on the 1st of October, the government submitted to Parliament the initial draft of the 2016 state budget, which set revenues at 8.35 billion lari and expenditures at 8.37 billion. The government expects 7.78 billion lari in tax revenues next year, up by 380 million lari from this year's target. The draft budget for 2016 projections 3% economic growth next year, while in July, Parliament confirmed amendments to the 2015 state budget, cutting economic growth forecasts from 5 to 2%. Wow. The draft budget can be revised up until it's put to vote in December. On the 5th of October, there was a parliamentary committee hearing for the 2016 draft state budget. Deputy Finance Minister Gheorghe Kakaouridze told lawmakers that the government does not know when or if they will continue with plans to scrap the corporate income tax on reinvested profits. The proposal was first announced in March 2015 by then-Economy Minister Gheorghe Kvitakashvili. He said at the time that although it would have a negative short-term impact on state coffers, cutting tax revenues by several hundred million lari, in the long run, it would boost economic growth. So, during the draft budget discussion, the Deputy Finance Minister Kakaouridze explained that they decided that the model for reforming the corporate income tax law, which was used in Estonia, can't be well replicated in Georgia, that it creates certain risks. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 5th of October, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Uzupashvili announced a competition to find 2 members for the 15-seat prosecutorial council, which will play a major role in the selection of chief prosecutor. The candidates need to be selected from civil society and academic fields. Uzupashvili said that the tertiary educational institutions, the Bar Association of Georgia, and non-commercial legal entities should each nominate their chosen candidate to the parliament before the 16th of October. The candidate is approved with at least 76 votes. If it fails, the selection process begins again. The meme this week is more stuff coming from the Rugby World Cup in the UK, where Georgia's competing Mamuka Gorgodze was once again named Man of the Match. There's a video of the announcements. He was stunned. The video has over 1.9 million views, over 11,000 shares. The Lelos won over Namibia on the 7th of October. By winning this game, Georgia automatically qualifies for the 2019 Rugby World Cup tournament. In a long piece from New Republic, Sarah Topol details what exactly happened at the Tbilisi Zoo the night of the flood of the 13th of June. The mess up with the tiger, the government's inept response, and revival of volunteerism and civic duty. Similarly, Vaja Tavberidze writes in Transitions Online, Tbilisi Zoo disaster, how people came together to clean up the devastated flood zones. Alexander Bisley explores for Slate how Georgia's 2008 conflict with Russia has motivated the Lelos at the Rugby World Cup. Idakli Alassania gives an opinion piece in Politico that Georgia is a forgotten ally, putting itself on the line for NATO but not getting much in return, even though it is the freest and least corrupt country in the region. He also outlines the current threats facing Georgia. Today there's less fear, but once again a single individual is calling all the shots. In Georgia, Bidzina Ivanishvili is much bigger than Donald Trump. Those who agree with his vision are prompted, while those who disagree are fired. New York Times has a rundown on who is Demna Gvasalia, the new designer behind Balenciaga. Journalist Zia Weiss reports on less than conventional peace-building initiatives in the Caucasus, Elva's virtual peace park video game that has teams from Georgia and Abkhazia playing together. The Independent visits the London Georgian Film Festival and concludes that Georgia is a movie-making hotspot. Tbilisi-based NGO Chai Khana has a new edition on urban and rural young women in Azerbaijan. Tara Isabella Burton has a travel piece in The Guardian visiting new hipster places in Tbilisi that are making the city cool. Monica Lena for Eurasianet looks at the growing cost of universal health care programs introduced by Georgian Dream Otsneba. Prime Minister Khadabashvili's speech in the 70th UN General Assembly. Serious Eats looks at the dishes that will make you fall in love with Georgian food. Lonely Planet lists the world's most intriguing wine regions, which include Kakheti. Vogue recommends you try some orange wine, which is made from white grapes. Their master sommelier visits Georgia in support of those orange wines and recommends the 2013 wine Chinuri. Two Georgian double amputee servicemen injured in Afghanistan have a Kickstarter page to break the Guinness World Records on the 3rd of December for the International Day of People with Disabilities. Their campaign is called Warriors Beyond Abilities. Another Kickstarter page for a project producing all-natural and traditional Bebo wool Georgian slippers. This week's CRC Jenny Patruyan takes a look at think tanks in Armenia and asks, who needs their thinking? Georgian Journal looks at the increasing influence of Russian propaganda in Georgian politics. They also look at the country's agricultural industries. This stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is $3.07 billion. Which is the proposed 2016 budget for the health ministry in Lodi. Its budget was $2.785 billion in 2015. It is the ministry with the largest budget. By contrast, the Ministry of Education has the second largest budget, which is 975 million Lodi. Eurasianet reports more on why the health ministry has such a big budget. We have it above in our things to read. Every day at the Amidani Cinema, there is an English version of The Martian in 3D from the 8th to the 14th of October at 8 p.m. I saw it. It's great. Tbilisi, on the 9th of October, there will be a CTL committee meeting, the AmCham office on Asatiani Street at 11 a.m. They're discussing new draft law from the Ministry of Health related to labor safety. They want comments and feedback on the law. The laws lay down the basic requirements for ensuring safety and protecting employees' health within the work environment. Determines responsibilities, rights, and obligations of employers and employees related to creating safe working environment. Defines the responsibilities of particular state authorities in implementing the law. You can email the committee about that. They're also looking at the insolvency law, property seizures by courts as preliminary injunction, and foreign ownership of agricultural lands. starting on the 10th of October for 9 days at the 2015 Tel Aviv International Music Festival. This year's festival is celebrating 100th birthday of late Soviet pianist Sviatoslav Richter, and there's Georgian international musicians coming, like Eliso Virsaladze, violinist Andrei Baranov, opera singer Vittorio Vitelli, and conductor Ariel Zuckerman. You can find out more by looking up Tel Aviv International Music Festival on Facebook. As a reminder, the Tbilisova Festival is on the 17th and 18th of October, all over Old Tbilisi. The Cinedoc, C-I-N-E-D-O-C, Tbilisi Film Festival will be on the 21st to the 25th of October. Search for it on Facebook for more information. There'll be an international section, documentaries from and about and around the Caucasus. Israel is the guest country. There's going to be a lot of interesting documentaries on this, so be sure to look this up. It's Cinedoc, C-I-N-E-D-O-C. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the form on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1969, 2 years after the Comandante was killed in Bolivia, as mentioned above, this is Soledad Bravo from La Rioja in Spain, the daughter of a soldier of the Republic. This is Hasta Siempre, Comandante Che Guevara.
A quererte desde la histórica altura donde el sol de tu bravura le puso cerco a la muerte. Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara. Tu mano gloriosa y fuerte desde la historia dispara, cuando todo Santa Clara se despierta para verte. adelante, como junto a ti seguimos y con Fidel te decimos hasta siempre, comandante. Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandante Che Guevara.